This movie contains scenes that may be too intense for some viewers. Viewer discretion is advised. ABC Capital Cities, ABC Video Enterprises Incorporated, ABC Distribution Company. This film, a dramatization of the kidnapping of Paul and Kathy Plunk and their baby daughter, is based on court records and personal interviews. A family drives along a beach.
Falling down, London Bridge is falling down.
Captain. A blonde-haired woman sings to her toddler in the back seat. Starring Joanna Kearns. A man with graying hair is driving the van. Barry Bostwick. Chad Lowe. A sign reads, "Welcome to Oregon."
Up it again.
Gonna go with lots of trees.
Change. Patricia Charbonneau and John Stamos as Robert Knott. It is night. The blonde-haired woman drives as the man sleeps in the passenger seat. Music by Steve Terrell. Producers Jeffrey Cowan and Julian Foles. Editor Noel Rogers. Production designer Brent Thomas. Director of Photography, Frankie Johnson, ASC. It's day as the family pulls up in front of a two-story building. Produced by Michael Rhodes. Written by Leonie Sandercock. She takes the child out of her car seat. Directed by Michael Tuchner.
Here, I want you. Come here, baby.
This is going to be our new home. It's called Yahats. You say that? Yahats?
Yahats.
Yahats.
You know, I still can't believe we're doing this.
A man comes out. December 1987.
Ah! Thank God. Hello.
Ah, Nigel. Good to see you.
I couldn't be more glad to see you if you were Santa Claus. No, I tell you, I just can't wait to get out of this place.
Really?
Well, hello.
Hi.
Is this a little creature who was conceived on the premises?
Yes, sir. This is Katie. Say hi, Katie. Hi.
Hi. Can I help you with...
He picks up a suitcase.
Oh, by the way, escrow says that the paperwork won't be ready till next week now. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to disappear before that. You don't mind, do you?
No.
I'll show you the ropes and everything, and yes.
He leaves.
Oh, honey, isn't it paradise?
Yeah, it will be, with a few coats of paint, some carpentry, some plumbing, and as long as we can...
Keep up the payments, I promise, sweetheart, it won't be a problem.
A car pulls up next to another car on the side of the road with its hood up.
Need some help, son?
A dark-haired, scraggly man is under the hood. A younger man stands next to him.
Yeah, the alternator's busting. We need a ride in the next town.
Oh, I'm sorry, but we're headed the other way. Don't mind giving you and your friend a ride, though.
The scraggly man walks to the older couple.
Oh, well. No, we gotta go north.
South's the best we can do. But look, we just passed a police cruiser a few miles back. Maybe you should wait for them.
The scraggly, unshaven man glances back at his young partner, who smirks. He turns back to the older couple and looks at them.
No, we'll go with you guys.
And if you liked yesterday, you'll love...
You boys are on holiday?
We expect occasional showers over most of the...
Might say that.
Highs today should reach the minimum.
They look at each other, then point guns at the couple.
Only our holidays in the other direction.
The car turns around. The blonde-haired woman and her daughter are at a beach.
We're going to the ocean here. Go out to the ocean. Can you run? Can you run? You like the water? You like the water? Ooh, the water. You like the water?
They're approached by an older man and woman.
I knew we'd get you back here, Kathy. Didn't I say so, my darling?
Oh, hi. How are you?
We were hoping you hadn't changed your mind.
Oh, of course.
So where's the big fella?
Oh, he's off talking business with Nigel, you know.
Should be fishing. With plenty of time for work after you officially take over the place.
That's true.
Hey, Katie, look who's come to meet you. Look who's come to meet you. This is Uncle Rudy and Annie Hilda. Can you say hi? Yeah, a
we're having a party later on today. There'll be candy and desserts. Huh? Would you like to come, huh?
Yes, yes, of course you'd like to come.
Yeah. At the party, several men are playing tabletop shuffleboard.
Hey, kids.
Hey, Paul, you met Marv and Ed your last trip.
Gentlemen.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Now, this here's Greg.
Hi, Greg.
And this is Stu, your number one competitor just the other side of Yacht.
Actually, we do business a little differently here. Yeah. More cooperation than competition.
We're not interested in cutting each other's throats.
Kathy's been like a granddaughter to me.
Well, she's been coming here ever since she was so young.
How old was I, Hilda? 8? Oh, and I wanted to stay here forever. You see, my father's job moved us around a lot. Well, I just remember screaming that first summer as we drove away.
Why? Right. My kids couldn't stand it. They all left as soon as they finished high school. You know, I don't understand.
How puberty blues. They won't appreciate it till they're 10 years older.
We moved here the minute I found out I was pregnant. We did not want to raise a family in L.A.
That's how we felt about Tucson.
Katie is coloring with other children. Kathy walks past her and gives Paul some food.
I like the way he knocks.
How you doing, sweetie?
Ready?
Yeah.
Two. Right on the line.
This will help you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are you winning?
I just lost the motel. Don't worry about it.
Later, Kathy beats a rug with a broom and dust flies out. Paul paints the exterior of the motel, then fixes a sign that reads Yahat's Motel, Welcome.
Okay, sweetheart.
Okay.
Turn on.
She goes inside and turns on a light over the welcome sign.
Yes!
Right.
Soon after, Paul is fishing with Rudy.
Ah, Rudy. Good to get away from it all, isn't it?
That's why we retired here.
Yeah, well, that's why we're moving here. Tucson was turning into bad news. Shady characters, very shady morals.
Well, I'm glad you and Kathy are here, son. And I just hope the two of you make your fortune.
Well, Rudy, if I was interested in a fortune, I'd still be back in Tucson. No, I'd just be perfectly happy to make a reasonable go of it. Ah, Rudy, life doesn't get much better than this, does it?
A pickup truck pulls up in front of a sign that reads Yahat's Motel, 1/2 mile. Beat-up blue truck pulls in front of the motel. Paul is chopping wood as he watches the truck stop. As the scraggly man remains in the truck, his young accomplice gets out. Paul goes back to his work. The scraggly man flicks a cigarette out an open window and pulls out a small bag with a white powdery substance. He sticks a large knife into the bag and puts some of the white powder on it. He leans over the knife. He throws his head back. Inside, the young accomplice is paying Kathy at the motel desk.
Good. Okay, now our north front room is our best, Mr. Foss.
In fact, my husband and I spent our honeymoon there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Wisconsin, huh? What's it like there?
It's cold. It's really cold. Not missing much.
You and your friend out here on holiday?
We're just kind of, you know, working our way up the coast.
Mm. Well, I think you're all squared away. Have a nice day. Your room is up those outside stairs into the very end.
Okay.
Okay. Have a good day.
She smiles as he leaves. Paul watches the men carefully as they find their way to their room. Scraggly man washes his hands and wipes his nose. He has a large eagle tattoo on his chest. Frost points a gun at the television and drinks out of a can.
Bam! Bam!
Kathy hands Paul a cup.
To our first customers.
They toast, then drink.
Mm. Paul, why the frown?
Nothing. To our first customer.
The scraggly man folds a hand towel as he leaves the bathroom. He grabs the cocaine and his knife. Downstairs, Kathy's holding Katie.
Kathy?
Mm-hmm?
You gonna be okay? I mean, I really don't want to go to this Chamber of Commerce meeting anyway.
No, I'll be fine. I just want to write a few letters once I get Katie down. Go meet some new people.
Okay.
Okay.
Give me a kiss. Bye-bye. See you later.
Say goodnight. Say night-night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Night-night.
As he smokes a cigarette, the scraggly man peers through some curtains to see Paul getting in his van and driving away. Later, the two men enter the motel office. Frost rings a bell on the counter and looks around.
What can I do for you, Mr. Frost?
We need some change for the pop machine.
No problem.
As she opens the cash drawer, the scraggly man pulls a gun.
We'll take all your money.
Kathy stares at them.
Please.
Soon after, Frost holds a gun on her as the scraggly man is rifling through drawers.
Ain't got nothing.
I told you. This is it. This is all we...
Don't play games with me.
It's our first day. You're our first customers.
I think she's telling the truth, Robert. Come on, let's get out of here before he gets back.
Where's your checkbook?
My husband has it.
What's that?
Look, just take what we have and leave.
Robert shakes his head.
No, I don't think so. I think it's time to meet the rest of your family.
Come on, please don't hurt my family.
Robert grabs her by the hair and they all three go upstairs to an apartment.
It's a baby, man. I don't like this, right? Come on, let's split.
She picks up Katie.
All right, get over there.
Come on! Shut up! Sit!
Kathy quickly sits in a chair.
All right, get out there and watch for old man.
As Frost leaves, Robert searches through dresser drawers. Kathy looks at the empty doorway, glances at Robert, then makes a run for it with her daughter in her arms. She runs past Frost and they both give chase. Kathy slips down the stairs and lies down with her daughter on her chest. Robert slides down next to her, gets in her face, and grabs her by the hair.
That was really stupid. Do that again. And I'll kill you, baby.
Still holding her by the hair, he pulls Kathy back up the stairs.
Oh.
Frost, you're useless. Can you sit down there? And you do not move. Do it like this. Hey!
He shows Frost how to point the gun at Kathy and Katie.
Give me the kid.
Wait, no, oh God. Just stay still, kid.
He puts the child in her crib and starts looking through a nightstand. He holds up a wallet and begins looking through her checkbook. Kathy is trembling.
Bingo, they're loaded. You lied to me.
No.
Yeah, no, you did. You have $109,000 in here.
No, we paid out $100,000 on the motel 2 days ago.
As he throws the wallet, she ducks and it smashes a lamp. Robert pulls the gun out and slowly aims at Kathy.
No.
Robert, $9,000 is a lot of money. If we kill her, we get nothing.
Please.
Robert stares at her, then cocks the gun.
Oh, God.
Robert mimics her. Paul arrives home. He goes inside the motel office. Kathy as Katie as Frost points a gun at them.
Kathy! Yo, Kathy!
Robert's behind the door.
Hey, sweetie.
Well, hello, baby.
Robert grabs Paul from behind.
You move, and she's dead.
Kathy, don't do anything. Why do you want to take anything? Just don't hurt my family.
Shut up. All right. We're all going to the bank in the morning. In the meantime, we can have a little fun.
Kathy turns away and holds her daughter tight. Robert turns on the no vacancy sign, then stares at Kathy. Paul is face down on the bed, his hands tied behind him and his feet bound. With a cigarette in his mouth, Robert saunters over and removes Paul's watch.
Nice watch.
Paul struggles and turns over.
What are you going to do with us?
Hey, what are we going to do with him, Robert?
What are you, an echo?
What are we going to do with him?
Robert glares for a moment, then points his gun at Paul. Kathy stiffens and frowns as Robert watches her. Robert cocks the gun. Paul looks at the gun barrel, staring at him, then turns away. Robert smiles slyly as he puts his finger on the trigger. Robert drops the bullets to the floor.
Look, I gotta use the John.
Thank you.
He points the gun at Paul again. He opens the gun cylinder, puts one bullet in a chamber, and spins it.
She's
okay. Now shut that kid up. All right, here's your plan. Go on to Olympic City. The bank know you there?
Kathy shakes her head.
Good. He'll take it. Shut up!
Katie stares at him.
Now, if she comes back with the money and she hasn't done anything stupid, we'll tie you up and we'll leave you. Let's go. Let's go!
As Robert drives the truck, Kathy and Katie sit in the passenger side. Frost and Paul follow in the van.
Why are we going south? Lincoln City is north.
Don't ask me.
Need some brains.
Robert suddenly turns onto a side road and Frost follows. In a remote area, Robert pulls Kathy and the baby out of the truck. He rushes them to the van as Frost gets out.
Are you okay? Did he hurt you?
No.
Just try to stay calm, sweetheart. Everything's going to be fine once we give him the money.
We're leaving the pickup here. The cops will figure we're going south.
If they lay a hand on you or Katie, I swear to God, I'll kill them.
I love you, Paul.
Now you drive. I need time to think.
We're back.
Robert throws his stuff into the van and climbs in. Frost backs up the van and drives away. They're at at a different motel. Paul is bound as Kathy plays with Katie on the bed. Robert peeks between the window curtains. He checks his watch as he paces the floor.
It's 10 o'clock. You got exactly 40 minutes. If you're not back, I swear to God, I'm going to kill your baby, I'm going to kill your husband, and leave. You'll be on your own.
Hey, lighten up, Robert. I got it under control.
You don't have your shaving under control.
When they come back with the money, you're going to let us go, right?
You're a good boy.
Kathy looks at Paul, who nods.
All right, it's clear. Let's go. Come on.
Kathy leaves and Frost follows. They drive through a small town. They drive in front of a car before pulling into a parking space in front of the Northern Pacific Bank.
Next, please.
Frost holds Kathy's hand as they approach the teller window. Kathy opens her billfold and tears out a check. The teller looks at the check, then glances at them.
Just a moment, please.
Kathy forces a smile, then glances at a clock that reads 10:17. The teller is talking to a man at a desk. The men look at a computer, then the teller returns.
See some ID, Mrs. Plunkett.
Right here. I hope my Arizona driver's license is okay.
Sure. And a major credit card. And sign the back.
Frost watches her sign the check.
How would you like it? Bank check?
Cash.
The teller stares at him.
Cash.
Puzzled, the teller looks at Kathy.
My brother and I are going to Las Vegas.
Just a moment, please.
The clock reads 10:18. Robert's hand is spread on a table as he jumps a pencil over his fingers. Paul plays with Katie.
What are you looking at? What do you want to play? Okay.
He spreads Paul's hand on the nightstand.
Ready?
Robert looks at the pencil.
Oh, you know, he obsessed.
He drops the pencil.
This is how we really play.
Paul pulls his hand away as he shows him the knife. Robert looks at Katie.
Any hand will do.
Paul looks at Katie, then reluctantly puts his hand back on the nightstand. Robert smiles. Back at the bank.
800, 900, and 9,000.
She puts the large wad of cash in her purse.
Everything seems right. Thank you.
Just a moment, Mrs. Blunt.
He turns to the bank guard.
Fred! Would you escort these people to their car, please?
Thank you.
The guard follows them out.
Next, please.
Frost and Kathy are back in the van.
Vegas. That was great. We were brave. When that hat came up, man, I thought we were dead.
Kathy stares wearily ahead, then covers her face.
Oh, come on. Come on, you were great in there. We were just like Bonnie and Clyde.
Please, just hurry. Hurry.
She holds out the cash.
No. Divide it in half and look after Roberts, please.
Oh. I'm so scared of your friend.
Yeah, he's kind of got that effect on people.
He won't hurt my family, really.
Frost doesn't look at her. She turns away and shakes her head.
You're so different from him. How did you get mixed up with him?
We were in the same halfway house together in Wisconsin. One day, we just decided we were going to boost a car and head out west. You know, like Butch and Sundance. We've been partying ever since, been drinking beer, popping pills, snorting ice.
Butch and Sundance died, you know.
Robert wants to die.
Do you?
It's in the cards.
It doesn't have to be. Please, will you help us? Please, if you help us, then maybe we can help you.
Maybe.
Please.
I gotta get my head straight. I'll try.
Could you please just drive a little faster? Please.
Frost and Kathy arrive back at the motel. As Robert peeks through the curtains, Paul sits on the bed with Katie. Paul's fingers are crudely bandaged. Kathy immediately gives Robert his money.
Here. Oh, sweetie. What's he done to you?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just a cut. It's nothing. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Hey, we were just like Bonnie and Clyde. We held hands, man. Okay, look, you have your money now. We're gonna let us go. It's more money than we ever had. Hey, Robert.
I'm trying to count here.
I'm hungry. I'm gonna get some food. Do you want something for your baby, maybe? Let us go!
I'm running low on disposable diapers.
Okay.
He leaves. Rudy listens to the radio as he washes his car.
In other news, Nevada police are asking Oregon authorities for their help in their search for two suspects wanted in connection with a terrifying kidnapping earlier this week involving an elderly couple driving through the state on vacation.
Authorities are stepping up their search for two men in their early 20s, one of fair coloring and medium height, the other tall, dark, possibly of Native American descent.
Robert turns off the TV.
What are we going to do?
We're getting out of here. They're coming with us.
No, you said you'd let us go.
Yeah, well, now the situation calls for a different strategy. We need hostages.
You take me, you let Kathy and Katie go.
No.
Kathy turns to Frost.
You promised.
Frost glares at her. They drive away from the motel in the van.
Where are we going, Robert?
North. Canada.
Frost is driving with Paul beside him. Robert, Kathy, and Katie are in the seats behind them. Rudy goes into the Yahats motel office. He looks around, then rings the bell at the front desk.
Paul? Kathy?
He frowns.
Anybody home?
The van is parked near a beach.
Don't you guys ever sleep? Been awake for days. Don't you ever shut up?
Could I please feed my husband?
You shut your kid up?
She holds out a sandwich.
Here, sweetie.
No.
Look, what? Can I just take her outside for a walk? She needs air.
I'll go with her.
All right. I'll stay and play with the husband.
Frost, Kathy, and Katie get out of the van. As Katie plays on the beach, Frost and Kathy sit and watch her.
Kids are different, aren't they?
What?
From us? We're all screwed up. When you're a kid, nothing makes sense, you know? It doesn't matter. It's like you're going to live forever when you're a kid, you know?
What's your first name?
Jeff.
How old are you, Jeff?
22. She's nice. Were you planning on having more kids?
She stares at him.
I'd like to have a little boy someday.
No, no. Boys are bad. I'd like a little girl.
Sure. Why not?
He looks down. Jeff stands and pats Kathy on the shoulder. She nods and goes to Katie.
Hurry up!
I'm gonna sit in back with her. You drive.
All right.
Jeff sits next to Kathy and Katie and then shuts the van door. At the Yahats Motel, Rudy walks out as a squad car approaches. A state trooper gets out.
Afternoon.
Thanks for coming out. Name's Rudy Bruger. Now, this may be nothing, but if you're running a motel, you don't all take off and leave it unattended, right? Or leave your no vacancy sign on when you got no guests?
Why don't you show me around?
Right, come on.
Paul sleeps in the front seat as Jeff closes his eyes and moves his head around.
You're very tense. I need more sleep.
My neck hurts all the time.
Kathy frowns, then slowly starts to massage Jeff's shoulders and neck. Robert looks in the rearview mirror, then briefly speeds off the road. Paul is stirred awake. He looks back to see Kathy rubbing Jeff's shoulders. She sees her husband and stops.
No, don't stop. Don't stop.
She stares at Paul as she rubs Jeff's shoulders again. Paul frowns. Robert checks his rearview mirrors as they head over a bridge and pass a sign that reads, "Welcome to Washington." As they continue down the highway, a squad car approaches fast behind them with its lights flashing.
It's the cops. Sit. Get ready.
Jeff and Robert pull out their guns. The squad car suddenly swerves and drives past them. Paul closes his eyes as the car speeds away.
All right. Gotta find a place to hold up.
Why don't you give yourselves up instead of getting us all shot?
Why don't you shut up? I ain't ended up in jail like Geronimo. I'm gonna die a free man, so shut up!
It's nighttime as the van continues down a highway. Katie is crying in her car seat. Robert is now beside Kathy and Jeff is driving.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Don't yell at her, please.
You shut up! You shut up!
He grabs his gun.
You shut this kid up, or I will. I swear to God.
Put the gun away. You're scaring her.
Robert leans over and covers Katie's mouth. Paul struggles to help Katie. Robert elbows Paul in the jaw.
Get away from my Katie!
Robert and Kathy struggle.
Leave her alone! You like it, huh?
Kathy tries to break free as Robert holds her by the neck and hair.
Stop the van!
Jeff pulls over to the side of the road.
Kathy! Please!
Robert drags Kathy out of the van. She struggles to break free, but he manages to get her to the back of the van. He opens the door and forces her into the back. She tries to get away, but he grabs her by the hair. Paul closes his eyes as Robert holds her down. He shuts the back door. As Jeff gets back on the highway. He puts a tape in the stereo. Paul's eyes are closed and his head is down. At another motel, Jeff joins Robert outside and hands him some keys. Robert is staring at a sign that reads Eagle's Nest Motel and has a picture of a flying eagle on it. In the van, Kathy stares vacantly ahead as tears wet Paul's eyes.
You're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
And you, me.
Kathy's head is leaning on the car seat as Katie looks at her mom.
I should never have gone to that damn meeting.
You couldn't have known.
No, I didn't like the looks of them when they checked in. I should never have left you alone with them.
We're going to make it through this, Paul. We're going to stay calm. Do whatever they want.
He shakes his head.
Do whatever they want. Whatever it takes for the three of us to get out of this alive.
Later, Robert stares at the Eagle's Nest sign again, then turns to Jeff, who is watching television.
Give it up!
Here's your answer, Cotter!
Go get us some beer.
Yeah. Later.
Robert walks up behind Jeff, grabs him by the hair, and puts a gun to his neck.
Hey, take it easy, man. Take it easy!
No.
I'll go. What do you... Do you want some food? Huh?
No. I'm fasting. I gotta get purified.
Okay.
Jeff looks at Kathy.
Do you want some food?
No.
How about the baby?
What are you, nurse, mate? Get the hell out of here.
Robert turns off the TV with a gun in his hand. He puts the gun down and looks at himself in a mirror. As Kathy watches, he removes his shirt. He closes his eyes and leans his head back, then slowly turns to Kathy. She stares at him and slowly stands. He glances down at the eagle tattoo on his chest.
Touch it.
She looks at Paul.
I said touch it.
She stares blankly as she slowly puts her right hand on his chest. Paul closes his eyes and turns away.
What's this motel called?
She removes her hand.
I didn't notice.
Eagle's Nest. I'm supposed to be here. Something is going to happen here. What are you staring at?
Nothing.
What are you staring at?
Your hair.
What's the matter with my hair?
Too long. It's crackly.
What do you know about my hair?
I know you could be handsome if you... if you paid more attention.
He looks at himself in the mirror. Kathy glances at Paul, who is tied up on the bed.
Cut my hair.
scissors.
My back. Come
on. Kathy slowly walks to Robert's duffel bag on a bed as he stares at himself in the mirror. She finds some scissors in a leather case and sees the large knife just below it. She starts to pull the knife out, then sees Robert watching her in the mirror. She picks up the scissors and approaches him. His shirt draped around his arms, he sits in a chair as Kathy stands behind him. She hesitates, then begins measuring his shoulder-length curly hair.
The ankle's important to you?
It's sacred.
Did you grow up on a reservation?
Why do you care about this? Just shut up and cut my hair. I don't want to talk about this.
I just know that it's important to you, and I...
He puts her hand on his shoulder.
I was curious.
Paul watches, and Robert closes his eyes as she starts rubbing his shoulders.
Where are your parents? Are they alive?
I was playing in the yard. And I heard this screaming. And then I heard this crack, like gunshot. And I went in the house, and my father was dead.
And your mother?
Killed him. My mother shot my father. And they took her away, and I never saw her again. Little boy.
You've had a terrible life.
Doesn't matter anymore. We're all gonna die.
It doesn't have to be that way. No, we can help you. We can help you.
He looks at her wearily.
You a job at our motel, couldn't we, Paul?
Sure, we could always use some extra help.
You'd have to give yourself up, though.
They put me in jail.
No. We'd say that you looked after her. She didn't hurt us in any way.
Jeff comes in and Robert puts his shirt on.
What's this? Beauty parlor?
No, we were just discussing you giving yourselves up. Paul and I will help you.
No way. I'm not going back to prison. What's the matter with you, Robert?
Nothing. All right, enough of this. That's it. You're all dead. You're dead. Your kid's dead, and you're dead.
He takes the scissors from Kathy, then she picks up Katie. She takes her into the bathroom where she sits on the floor and hugs her tightly. Jeff goes into the bathroom and takes the baby from Kathy.
I need to talk to your mommy alone. You go play with your toys.
Katie walks away. Paul watches as Kathy stares into space.
You told me you didn't like Robert.
I'm terrified of him. He's gonna murder us all.
Oh, don't worry. It's just how he talks sometimes.
He rubs her shoulder, then pulls the hair back from her face. As Jeff kisses her on the cheek, tears well up in Paul's eyes.
No, no, please, no, 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 no.
Jeff shuts the bathroom door.
I feel sick, man. I'm coming down real hard, and I'm thinking that we gotta lighten our load and just and kill everybody.
No, no, forget it. She helped us. You can't kill a baby, man.
What's the difference? It's all the same. We're all dead. The cops are out there right now. We're gonna die anyway.
Jeff carefully looks out the window.
There's no one out there. Robert, pull yourself together, man. This stuff is eating you up.
Leave Kathy and Katie here. Take me with you. Why don't you shut up? Nobody's talking to you.
What we should do is get rid of him. He's a nuisance.
Robert pulls the knife out of a sheath tied to his leg and starts to stand.
No, not here. In the mountain somewhere.
Robert looks around warily, then pulls himself closer to the bag of cocaine on a table. He stares at it longingly. Paul stares at the ceiling. Later, it's nighttime and everyone is in the van. They make their way down a snow-lined roadway.
All right, stop the car here.
As Robert gets out, Kathy quickly kisses her husband on the side of the head.
Remember.
Just go.
Robert drags Paul out, and Kathy looks to Jeff.
Please don't kill him. Please.
Paul's hands are still bound as Robert dances around and slaps him. Robert sneers as he steps back, lifts his pant leg, and pulls the large knife out of the sheath. Paul watches as Robert moves the knife around and holds it above his head. Kathy covers her mouth as Robert aims the knife at Paul. He slowly walks closer to Paul, then grabs him by the shirt.
What was you?
Unhurt, Paul looks down at his freed hands. Robert steps back, then motions to Jeff. He grabs Jeff by the shirt and pulls him closer.
All right, that's your turn. Shoot him. Go ahead. You could comfort the grieving widow.
Jeff aims the gun at Paul.
Shoot him, Jeffrey. Shoot him, Jeffrey.
Jeff looks at Kathy.
Shoot him! Shoot him!
Jeff smiles as Paul runs away.
I said shoot him! Put it! Give me that!
Robert gets Jeff's gun as Paul stumbles into the woods.
Run! Run! Kathy's gone! What's the matter with you? Get him! Get in there!
Kathy gets Katie out of the car seat as Jeff returns to the van and climbs in next to them.
Thank you. Thank you.
She grabs Jeff's hand. Robert gets behind the wheel.
You've lost it, man.
Jeff touches his arm.
Robert, he's never gonna make it. We're a million miles from anywhere.
Robert pulls his arm away. He drive slowly in the foggy, cold night, searching for signs of Paul.
Just let him be, Robert. Just leave him be.
Shut up!
I'll let the bastard freeze. It's a slow, miserable death anyway.
Jeff leans over to Kathy, who is cradling her daughter.
We could be something. You and me.
He raises his eyebrows, then looks at Katie. They drive slowly down the mountain. Without a code, Paul continues running through the deep snow and hilly terrain. He falls. He slides on the snow and makes his way to the wet road. He looks up the road, the horizon veiled in fog. He crosses his arms to try to keep warm as he runs. The next morning, the van is parked in front of the Eagle's Nest Motel. Robert comes out of the bathroom. Jeff is resting on one bed and Kathy lies next to Katie on another. Robert looks at Jeff.
Nervous about your wedding night?
Kathy stares at Robert. A weary Paul runs up to a mobile home in the woods.
Hey! Hey! Is anybody in there? Hey!
Who the hell are you?
Oh, help me. Help me. Please, help me.
All right. Get out of here!
Look, please. I've been walking all night. My wife and baby have been kidnapped. You've got to help me, please.
Later in a patrol truck.
This is Pierce County Car 6. I'm bringing Mr. Plunk into the Morton substation now.
At the motel, Kathy feeds Katie as Jeff and Robert watch television.
Police are looking for two men in their early 20s driving a 1988 blue Ford van. The men are armed and dangerous and are believed to be holding a woman and child hostage. These men may also be wanted in connection with a number of other alleged...
Damn it! We should have kept driving. Let's go, we're at it.
Someone watches the blue van through binoculars in the patrol truck.
Here's County Car 6. Do you copy?
This is Car 6. Go ahead.
We've spotted a Ford van, Arizona plate, November, Romeo, Oscar 584, parked outside the Eagle's Nest Motel.
That's it. They were back. That's where they were holding us.
We're on our way.
The patrol truck races down a highway with its lights flashing. Robert and Jeff quickly pack.
Let's go! All right, I'll take the kid.
They're watched as they go to the van.
Sheriff, this is Clark. We got us some activity here. Two adult males matching the description of the suspects are moving towards the van. They're accompanied by a woman and a small child. Please advise.
Well, tell them not to shoot. That's my wife and baby. Come on, tell them! Tell them!
This is Car 6 approaching Morton. Mr. Plunk is concerned about the safety of his wife and child.
I know. Would you tell them not to shoot?
Sheriff, the van is pulling out. Heading north on Highway 12.
Right, Clark. The FBI's in on this now. Do not close in until backup units get into position.
We're on them now, Sheriff.
A squad car starts following the van. As Jeff drives and Kathy sits in the passenger side holding Katie, Robert watches from the back of the van. As they turn a corner, Robert sees the squad car behind them. She puts Katie on the floorboard.
I step on it.
As Robert holds his gun, Jeff drives faster. He nearly loses control in a corner, but manages the turn.
The van's pulled into Tonquin Park, Sheriff. I think we spooked him.
Okay, Clark, give him some space. Take a position to cover the entrance and sit tight. Backup units are on the way.
Among tall trees, the van pulls to a stop.
What's the plan?
Robert jumps out.
Robert?
And runs up the road.
Robert? What's he doing?
Robert disappears around a corner. Kathy keeps Katie down beneath the dashboard.
Why did he run?
He's abandoning you, Jeff. He doesn't care about you.
No, not Robert. No, Robert's got a plan. He's got a plan.
Sheriff, we can't see a thing. Request permission to go in on foot.
Negative, Clark. Hold for backup.
Kathy sees the keys dangling from the ignition. Robert is still gone.
Jeff, he is not coming back. Can't you see that? He's not.
What should we do? What should we do?
Give yourself up. It's the only way.
No! I told you! I am not going back to prison! Now, come on. Come with me, all right? We'll go into the woods and we'll get Robert. Robert is really good in the woods. He'll get us out of this.
No. No, I can't take Kathy into the woods. I can't. Quick, you go. You go before the police get here and somebody gets hurt, okay?
Okay. Okay. I'll go find Robert and I'll bring him back, okay?
Okay.
Jeff gets out and goes to look for Robert. She looks at the keys again as Jeff turns the corner down the road. She jumps into the driver's seat.
Robert, where are you?
Shut up. What the hell are you doing here? You're supposed to be watching the woman and the kid.
I promised her I would bring you back. What are you doing?
I'm going to ambush the cops from here.
Keys with her, you idiot!
Robert races back to the van and Jeff follows. Kathy keeps trying to start the van. As Robert races down the road, Kathy puts the van into reverse. The back door closes as she speeds away.
Jeff, shots have been fired.
What's going on?
After firing two shots, Robert stares at the departing van.
Where's she going?
Robert kicks him.
Where's she going?
Robert runs back down the road, and Jeff follows.
Robert, wait! Wait!
The van's making a run for it, Sheriff.
Stay with it, Clark, but don't do anything to jeopardize the hostages. Backup units are almost in position to intercept.
Unlock the rack.
He gives Paul a key to unlock a gun rack.
And when we get there, I want you on the floor, out of sight, okay?
Paul nods. Kathy drives up to a roadblock and swerves down another road.
Okay, stay down, Kathy. It's okay.
Kathy turns and almost hits another car.
Tighten it up, Clark. Your backup is closing in.
As several squad cars race to the scene, Paul's eyes are wide.
They're moving in, Sheriff.
Kathy pulls the van to a stop.
Stay, Kate. Mommy will be right back.
She jumps out of the van and runs to a payphone. Katie stays under the dashboard. As Kathy watches, she's quickly surrounded by squad cars.
Stand back, ma'am. Keep your hands in sight.
No, don't shoot! Don't shoot! My daddy's in there!
Deputies are pointing their weapons as Kathy runs to the van. Paul jumps out of the squad truck.
That's my wife! No, that's my wife! Stop! That's my wife!
Paul hugs his wife and daughter. Paul and Kathy kiss.
Sheriff, this is Clark. We finished our sweep of the park. No sign of the suspects.
Sheriff, Unit 2 is clear. This is Unit 5. Nothing out of the ordinary at this location.
It's night as a man in a tow truck pulls up in front of a home. Holding a clipboard, he goes to the front door. Robert grabs the man from behind as Jeff comes out with a female hostage.
How you doing, pal? I'm taking a little ride.
Stick it easy.
They all get into the tow truck. At the police station, Paul looks at a wanted poster.
That's not. That's him. That's Robert Nutt. I want to personally kill this bastard.
A dark-haired woman in a suit enters.
Mr. and Mrs. Punk, I'd like you to meet my associate, Special Agent Kenderson.
Oh. Is there anything I can get for you?
Kathy looks down and shakes her head.
Mrs. Plunk, I'm going to have to take you and your daughter to the hospital for an examination.
Kathy looks at Paul. Paul reaches across the table for his wife's hand. She slowly picks up Katie, and they leave the room. Paul stares at the wanted poster again and shakes his head.
What he did to my wife. What they both did. I couldn't do a damn thing. I wanted to jump them. I kept looking for the right moment. I promised Kathy that if either of them laid a finger on her, I'd kill them.
Listen to me, Mr. Plunk. Anything you might have tried against those two would have been fatal. It would have provoked more violence in them, and they would have killed you. And probably your wife and child, too.
I didn't even try.
It sounds to me like you both handled the situation incredibly well.
No, I didn't protect my wife and baby. Kathy's gonna hate me for that.
Sitting in a hospital gown, Kathy stares absently at the floor. Agent Kenderson comes in with some clothing.
Well, no more in a few days.
What about the other test?
Frost and Knott will be tested for AIDS as soon as they're apprehended. To be safe, though, you should schedule your own periodic checkups. Kathy, forensics will need your clothes for tests.
They can keep them. Was it me doing all those things? It's all so disgusting.
What do you think you've done that was so terrible?
The whole thing. What I did with Jeff. I let him on. I let him pretend we were buying Clyde.
You keep calling him Jeff. You liked him.
No. No.
I'm not accusing you, Kathy.
It was different from not. More human somehow. And at first, I wanted him to help us. And then as weird as it sounds, I wanted to help him. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. You did exactly what you had to do.
Yeah. But it's the other things I did. I let him like me. I mean, Jeff. Frost didn't hold the gun to my head. I didn't fight enough.
These two men had the power of life and death over all of you.
What will Paul think of me?
It's night as the Plunk family goes into a nicer hotel room.
Well, this is a welcome change. How do you feel?
More tired than I've ever felt in my life.
I'll put Katie down, and then I'll get us organized here.
As he puts Katie in a playpen, Kathy looks at a pair of the child's sweatpants. Later, Paul leans on the playpen as Kathy approaches.
You think the last few days will hurt her?
The doctors say she'll be okay. She's young. Probably won't remember. We should be so lucky. Look, I'm too tired to think. Do you mind if I take a bath?
No, of course not.
Kathy goes into the bathroom. Paul stares at his daughter. Later, Paul goes into the bathroom to find Kathy soaking in a bubble bath.
Are you okay? You've been in here forever.
I'll be out in a minute.
Well, let me get you a towel.
Paul, I just need some space, okay?
She looks at him sadly and he leaves. Later, Paul reaches over to his sleeping wife.
Jeff, no.
Kathy, it's me.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Two squad cars are in hot pursuit of the tow truck. Jeff and Robert look back as the truck driver speeds them along the highway.
There's two of them now, man. What are we going to do?
To try to stop us, we'll blow their heads off.
Move it!
Yeah. Take that vest. Here.
Deputies put on riot gear. The agent who talked to Paul enters.
Just in time, Jordan. We spotted him on Highway 12.
The other squad cars follow the tow truck into the trap.
Oh, they got a roadblock.
Deputies point their weapons at the tow truck. The tow truck stops on the bridge and the squad cars block their exit. The deputies aim at the truck. Robert jumps out and starts firing with a gun in each hand. Jeff fires as well. Jeff is hit and falls to the ground. Robert's hit in the neck. He slowly falls to the ground. Jeff lies motionless. Robert's arm falls limply. A deputy steps on Jeff's hand that is still holding the gun. He tosses it aside and checks for a pulse. The Plunk family is eating breakfast.
You know, I've been thinking, I think after breakfast we should get out of here. I'll call Rudy and Hilda. We'll tell them we're okay, and we're on our way.
She stares at him. Kathy stares at the table, then covers her mouth. Jordan and Kenderson walk up.
Morning. Any news?
It's all over.
They're dead. One of them was killed in a shootout earlier this morning.
Which one?
They had a couple of hostages with them, tried to make a run for it in a stolen tow truck.
Who?
Frost was killed at the scene. Knott was shot as well. We thought he was dead, but doctors seem to think he's going to pull through.
Well, you should have finished the job, damn it.
Kathy.
Henderson follows her.
Kathy. Kathy.
Kathy splashes water on her face in the restroom. She buries her face in her hands.
As sick as he was just a dumb kid. He was just a dumb kid, and I just kept telling him. I told both of them that it didn't have to end like this.
But that's exactly where their life was headed. You and your husband are lucky they didn't take you down with them. Jenny Blaker wasn't so lucky. She and a young man, a tow truck driver, were taken hostage last night. She died in the shootout this morning.
Kathy frowns at her.
Oh, no.
She's 29 years old.
Oh, no.
Married with two small kids.
No.
Kathy sinks to the floor and closes her eyes as tears roll down her cheeks.
To go back to Yacht Huts today. Deborah, I don't know if I can ever go back there. He doesn't know what I've been through. I mean, he was there, and then he thinks he knows, but he can't really know.
He knows more than you give him credit for. You need to be more understanding about what he's been through. What he's still going through. Just as you are of Jeff Frost.
It's a sunny day at the Yahats Motel as the Plunks arrive in their van. Rudy and Hilda are inside as streamers, balloons, and flowers adorn the motel office.
Here they come. Ta-da-da!
Kathy and Paul are surprised.
Welcome home, darling.
Right. Oh. Hi, Paul.
What's all this?
It's so good to see you.
Hello, Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, so good to have you back.
Look at this. It's beautiful. I love flowers.
It's not just from us.
It's from the whole town, Kathy. Everybody wants to welcome you back home. And we hope...
We want you to stay. Is there anything I can do to help you? In any way?
Would you come upstairs with me?
Hilda smiles. With a firm grip on Hilda's hand, Kathy slowly enters her apartment. She looks back at Hilda, who nods. Kathy takes a few steps into the room and stops. She takes a few more steps, then leans on the wall as she stares at the furniture that brings back memories. She starts to cry and covers her mouth with her hand. Paul comes in frowning. Kathy shakes her head as a tear runs down her cheek.
I can't let him.
Honey, yeah, we don't have to live here. Maybe we can rent a place nearby.
Later, Kathy looks out over the ocean on the deck of a home. Paul comes out.
I'm going to go open the motel.
He touches her cheek, then leaves. Kathy looks back out over the ocean. At night, Kathy wakes up and finds Paul's side of the bed empty. She turns on a light and gets out of bed. She turns off a television and goes to her husband, who is asleep in a chair. She puts a blanket over him, then gently touches his face. The next morning, Paul is at a table writing something. He takes a drink of his coffee as Kathy enters while putting on her robe.
I didn't hear you get up.
I want to get an early start. I've got a lot to do today.
Well, I thought maybe we could spend some time down near the water. Just the two of us. To talk.
Maybe tomorrow.
He takes his breakfast dishes to the sink.
Paul, I really...
Not today.
He leaves. Later, Kathy carries Katie and a covered dish full of food. She approaches the motel. As she enters the office, she sees Paul putting up bars.
What are you doing?
Something I should have done when we first bought this place.
Paul, we didn't move here to live like this. Have you lost your mind?
Yes. It's not going to happen again, Kathy. And this will make sure that you're safe when I'm not here.
Look, I agreed to give this a try, but this is not the way. Paul, this isn't a zoo. Can we talk about this?
It's not open for discussion, Kathy, and you're not going to be working alone till I'm finished here.
Why?
She puts the food down.
Here's your lunch.
She picks up Katie and walks out. Paul walks back to the house where they're staying. Kathy is sitting on the floor with Katie.
Hi, Katie.
He puts the food in the refrigerator.
I don't know why you get so angry. I'm only trying to protect you.
She goes to talk to him.
I refuse to live like this, Paul. This isn't what our dream was about, and I don't just mean those bars. There's no intimacy.
He takes off his ball cap and coat.
Forget intimacy. We can't even talk about the weather anymore. When you're not working yourself to exhaustion at the motel, you're stalking around here like Rambo on guard duty. This isn't the man I fell in love with.
I'm only trying to keep this family together. You know what your problem is? You're too trusting.
She glares at him.
You used to say that was something you liked about me.
Yeah, well, that was before.
Well, I don't care. I'd rather be that way than always suspicious, than living like a prisoner. That's it, isn't it? Those bars aren't to keep people out. You're trying to keep me in. Why don't you just admit it?
Why are you making this so hard for me?
And I suppose you think you're making it easy on me.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Well, I think we both need some help.
No, I think we're doing just fine.
No, we're not.
Well, we will be if you'll just do what I say.
He leaves.
Come back here and talk to me, damn it. We don't need to do this alone.
She throws a dish rag down and hits the counter. Later, Katie is asleep in her crib. Kathy moves a blanket around her daughter's shoulders and looks at her sadly. She looks outside to see Paul chopping wood in the dark. She looks down. She's cooking as Paul comes in after fishing.
Just in time.
Oh, good. Where's Katie?
I put her down early. She was tired from shopping in Newport this afternoon.
What? Damn it, Kathy. I told you not to go into town alone. What if...
She turns away and frowns.
We've talked about this.
You talked. I listened.
He washes his hands.
How was fishing?
Didn't work. I thought I could get away from things, and all I ended up doing was snapping at Rudy for no reason at all.
Gets a beer out of the refrigerator.
Kathy, I've decided we shouldn't be in the motel business.
She turns and looks at him.
But it's only been 6 weeks.
I know.
I thought we were going to give this a try.
No, you're right. I'm suspicious of everyone who wants the ruling.
Jump at my own chef. My God, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to trust anyone again.
Don't you know that I feel the same way? I'm scared all the time. I'm scared of everyone who comes into the motel. I'm scared to be alone here at night.
Well, that's my point. What the hell are we doing here? God, I wish I understood you.
Paul, if we can't make a life for ourselves here, then where?
They stole something from me, Kathy. They took a big piece of what it feels like to be a man. And I wish you could understand what that does to me. I can't live with the fear of letting this family down again.
Oh, honey. You didn't let anybody down. You were incredibly brave. You walked through the snow. All the...
He sits at the kitchen table.
This isn't about you, is it? It's about me. You can't talk to me. You can't even look at me because of what I did.
I am in awe of what you did. You were, you are, the strongest person I have ever known.
I am not so strong.
Kathy, listen to me. It's not too late to start over, please. Let's sell out.
And go where? Paul, running won't do it. If we run, we've let those monsters ruin our lives. No. No. We should stay. And we should help each other. And forgive ourselves.
That's the hard part.
Later, Kathy is asleep in her bed. She wakes up, then finds Paul holding Katie in her room. She stands in the doorway and quietly watches them. She leaves. The next day, Kathy is cleaning a window. She looks down to see Paul talking to a man in a suit.
Good things I saw him. Get the Jeep. Get out of here, all right?
No, look. No. I don't want to say anything more to you, okay? And I don't want you to talk to me anymore. Leave, all right? No. Look, get out of here.
Paul pushes the man.
Oh, yeah. Get out of here.
Kathy hurries down some stairs.
You gotta be out of your mind.
Look, Mr. Plunk, it's my job to check these things up.
Yeah, well, it's my right to kick you off my property. So
Paul.
Get the hell out of here and don't come back. Come on, get out.
He pushes the man hard.
Get out of here.
Paul.
The man gets in his car. The man backs out of the drive and leaves.
Paul,
Paul, you have got to stop. You've got to stop attacking people.
I'm not attacking anyone, Kathy.
What was that?
But I'm just doing what you're always after me to do. I'm just telling somebody what I felt about them.
Well, that guy, I'm
sure... You know what that guy is? He's an investigator for Knott's lawyer. Get this, they want us to testify in Knott's behalf. They actually want us to say something nice about him at the trial.
You're not serious.
Oh, yes, I am serious. You remember when we said to them that maybe we could give them a job back here at the motel? Well, that jerk took us seriously. And now they want us to be character witnesses for some psycho because he just didn't kill us. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Oh, God, Paul, it's just all so absurd.
What?
No, you have to see the humor in it.
It's not funny, Kathy. I don't think it's funny.
No, no. No, listen. Yes, Your Honor. We offered Mr. Knott a job because we thought that he'd make a terrific night manager.
Right?
We thought he'd be great with the guests. And the deep down, he was just truly misunderstood. Oh, God. Oh, God, it's crazy. So crazy.
That's the first good laugh I've had in a long time. Well, it's a start, isn't it? I love you, Kathy. You're going to make this work for us.
She smiles lovingly at him. Later, they're kissing while having a picnic. Katie is playing nearby. Paul looks at his daughter.
Oh. 2 years after their ordeal, Kathy gave birth to a son. Kathy and Paul continue to operate the motel at Yahats. Robert Gerald Knott was sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole.